It's time to talk politics with Labor leader Andrew Little.
Yes, it is now time for our weekly chat with the leader of the Labor Party, Andrew Little. Kia ora, Andrew. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I'm just trying to find a way that I don't get surrounded by speakers playing music.
Oh, that's right.
You can hear me.
It sounds all good. You sound very clear.
Good. Okay,
So this week, Labor have released their fiscal plan in which you plan to spend $17 billion over the next 4 years without going into deficit and without cutting taxes. I wanted to touch down specifically today on spending on health and education. So the largest chunk of this fiscal plan, $8 billion will be spent on health, $6.7 billion on an unannounced modern health system. Stephen Joyce has criticised Labor's health spending, saying you're proposing to spend less on health next year than the government has added this year. Is this accurate?
Well, no, that's not correct. And in fact, what they've done is systematically over the last 8 years underfunded health. We actually do have a health funding formula that's based on population, based on the age of the population and the diversity of it. And the reality is that government simply has not kept up or kept pace with those changes and with inflation and health spending. So we're saying we need to restore that. That means an immediate injection. And, you know, money that hasn't been spent a few years ago on fixing people's health problems, those health problems don't go away. So over time, we're going to have to put in the $2.3 billion that they've underfunded over the last few years, as well as making sure that, you know, we have a system that is keeping up with technological changes, modern medicines. Look, we've got to modernise what we do with cancer treatment, for example. So there's a range of things we want to do. And you know, healthcare at a level that I think people are entitled to expect from a country like ours.
So $6.7 billion will be spent on a modern health system. Can you give us any clue as to how this will be spent?
Well, we know that one area that has been sadly neglected has been mental health services. We have a couple of immediate, somewhat modest proposals at the moment. One is primary mental health care teams. We know from a lot of feedback we're getting, a lot of people say, or a lot of parents particularly of young people say, they just don't know where the front door is to get help for their family members. So primary mental health care teams means you go to your doctor, you get diagnosed. If the diagnosis involves a mental health issue, then you'll get sent off to a mental health professional who can then work out what the treatment is that you need and navigate through the system. The other is to put registered nurses into every high school. We know in the high schools that this government has put registered nurses in as part of a healthcare program, is that it's had an amazing impact on adolescent mental health. That just getting easy access to a health professional means that you get those issues dealt with quickly. So we want to beef that up. We've got to do a stock take on mental health, and whether or not it needs a whole heap more resources, we certainly know that we need to do something significantly different in terms of mental health care at the moment, because it's far too many people missing out, far too many problems emerging. And look, we've just got to face up to this dreadful statistic that we've got hanging over New Zealand of the highest teen suicide rate in the developed world. That just cannot go on in a country like New Zealand.
Absolutely.
Get on top of it.
Moving on to education. So a very large bracket of this, $4 billion is going into education. So the big ticket here is 3 years of free tertiary education. Will there be any conditions around access to this with this three-year free tertiary?
No, there won't be. That's the thing, is that, I mean, you finish high school, we're saying that, you know, the modern world of the future, the world of work of the future means that, you know, just having a good high school education will no longer be enough. And that, you know, people are going to have to expect that they will have to be changing jobs and careers and industries many times during their working life, and people will need access to training, and it could be a first degree, it could be short course training multiple times. It's totally flexible in that regard.
So for example, if someone was to start a degree and leave halfway through their degree, would they be able to put that on hold, or are they able to start again? Is it a one-off, one chance allocation?
Yes, well, it's 3 years. So if you do 1 year of a degree and you decide, no, that's not for you, or you want to come back to it later, you can come back to it later. It won't be costed at the point you first started your degree. If you pick that degree up in 10 years' time or 15 years' time, you're entitled to finish that degree, whatever that cost is at that time. So
it's entitlement to 3 years of tertiary study.
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. We're calling it post-school educational training, because it's not just for degree-type courses. It's for anything that's going to give you, learn something or give you skills or whatever it is you need as you go through your working life or the part of your life where you're in a working age.
All right, so moving on, one of the big topics of the fiscal plan is the decision to cut all taxes, to forego tax cuts. It's clear that social issues are taking a priority in the plan. Are you worried that those more inclined to vote with their wallets may be put off by this?
Obviously, when you make that choice, yep, there'll be some people who think, oh, listen, I'd rather have the tax cut. But you know what? The amazing amount of feedback we've had since we've been very clear, we sort of really signaled it last week when we announced our family's package, saying we're not going for tax cuts. We've had an amazing amount of feedback where people have said, listen, about time. And I get people of all walks of life, including pretty successful business owners, stopping me on a regular basis saying, you know what, there are too many problems going on at the moment that are going unaddressed, things being neglected, and I don't want a tax cut. I'd rather my money went into fixing up the health system, doing better for our schools, getting young kids in jobs or work ready. People want to see money going to that stuff. It doesn't make sense to get an extra, 10, 15 bucks a week that might, go some small way to add to the family budget. If actually at the same time as your school is struggling, laying off teacher aides and making it harder for your kids to get a good quality education, if we all pull together and put those little bit of extra sums of money in, as a tax system works, is that you can make a huge difference for a large number of people. And we've got to be focused on what the future looks like, what we need to be doing, and investing in the right places right now. A lot of that is social investment. So, I make absolutely no apology for saying government is about choices. We've made a choice. We don't think tax cuts can be justified right now. We've got to invest in these other things. I mean, the other big challenge we've got is lifting incomes in New Zealand, and we certainly wanted to do that. It actually has positive tax implications in the long run, but we've got to get some basic foundations right at the moment that are actually sort of teetering on the brink.
This plan depends on the same economic growth forecasts that were used in the budget 2017 by the government. So in prioritising social progress like you are, can we expect the same amount of economic growth under a Labor government as we currently are experiencing?
Yeah, I mean, actually, as we sort of formalise more of our announcements, you'll see that we've got a number of initiatives that actually is about encouraging investment in new things and in other things that actually might increase our level of economic growth. I'm acutely aware that sort of growth for its own sake is can't just talk about that. We want to grow industries and businesses that are environmentally sustainable. There are huge opportunities for us in green technology and in the green economy. And certainly the Green Party has plenty to say about that. But look, there are opportunities there, and we want to see growth and development in that sort of area. All that stuff, adds wealth, creates wealth. We want to make sure that is fairly shared, that people are getting good wages. And obviously, the government, through the tax revenue that it gets, means it's got more options. There's more stuff it can do. So, look, we are focused on that. We think that we'll work with the Treasury's numbers on growth projections. We've worked with the Treasury numbers on a lot of things we've done in our fiscal package, because I think that's the kind of reasonable thing to do. If we can do better, and we will be aiming to do better, that'll be all good.
There has been a bit of criticism regarding the amount of debt that is being addressed in the plan. Stephen Joyce has specifically criticised, says that the plan is underwhelming. The plan in the plan, the net debt under a Labor government would be 20% of GDP by 2021. That compares with National's long-held target of getting debt below 20% by the same date. They currently sit with their budget at 17.9%, even aiming for 10 to 15% by 2025. Does Labor have any similar goals with debt?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to remember that the National government has added, in dollar terms, $65 billion to government debt. So the last Labor government paid down a whole heap of debt. We were actually, in net terms, we were at roughly zero. So Labor's got a good track record. But in the end, when you've got a growing economy and you're looking both for the social investments that are actually about investing in people and backing people, plus all those things that add to economic growth and business growth, actually, debt is not a big monster. You want to borrow responsibly, and in the end, you've got to repay debt, and we are doing that. But our total plan is about doing the responsible things across the board. This government has achieved what it's achieved by actually starving things like health services, running down education, you know, reducing police numbers in terms of the ratio of police to population, to the point now where we're seeing street crime rising, assaults, burglaries, robberies. They've just got it out of balance. And so we will do that responsibly. We'll manage it responsibly. We always do. We always have. But you can't, you know, there's no point setting arbitrary targets about, right, we're going to get down to this level of, you know, debt to GDP kind of ratio, when actually you've got 60,000 people can't get the healthcare that the GP says that they need. You've got 90,000 young people out of, you know, not doing any work or educational training. You've got hundreds of thousands of people just declining to go to the doctor when they should do because they're terrified of top-up fees that doctors charge. I mean, we've just got to get a better balance. And the way you manage your government debt reflects, you know, the priorities that you have, and that's what we're signalling.
Okay, just lastly today, last weekend, the Greens unveiled a $1.4 billion welfare policy, raising benefits by 20%, cutting tax at the bottom threshold, and creating a new top tax bracket of 40% above $150,000. At the rate of polling at the moment, Labor will need the Greens, and possibly New Zealand First as well. And they, I mean, both of these parties have a range of policies with big price tags. How exactly is Labor's contingency fund for spending from coalition partners?
Yeah, I mean, we have in our plan, we've made provision for dealing with what we will expect is, you know, things that potential coalition partners would want. But in the end, you know, each party is putting out their shingle. Each party is saying, this is our plan, these are our policies, and we'll put up those demands. If we get the privilege of forming a government, then you negotiate your way through that. Look, there are things on the tax front that we've said that we want to review the entire tax system. So rather than do sort of piecemeal changes, look, we've got a few changes to the tax system that we will do anyway, but we want to review the entire tax system against the principle of fairness and then look at tax changes after that. I don't think that's too far apart from, you know, what the Greens would want or what they could aspire to. In terms of some of the big ticket items from both parties, look, we'll deal with that. I think both parties are committed to doing, you know, something significantly different for the country than what the present government is doing. They understand that. They want to be in government. We all want it to be, because we know a change is needed if we want to fix the things that need to be fixed. And we will work our way through the respective claims and demands.
So the Treasury are going to release a pre-election economic and fiscal update in just over a month. Can we expect many changes to this Labor fiscal plan?
Yeah, we've said, listen, that what we put up is based on the most recent information that came out of the budget. There is the pre-election fiscal update, and the people are anticipating that might be additional revenue available. There are some things that we would prioritise. And
What would you be prioritising?
Oh, probably in the education front. I don't want to get too specific about it, because we want to be sure that if we're going to say, yep, we can do this, that there is the funds there to do it. But again, it goes back to making those investments that's going to set people up for a future, set New Zealand up for a future, and, you know, add to that the kind of general sense of well-being, happiness and prosperity that you'd expect a country like ours to be enjoying, most people in the country to be enjoying in a way that they aren't at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much, Andrew. You have a lovely day.
Cheers, you too. Thanks.
You've been listening to Andrew Little from the Labor Party. The Wire.